He wanted to join the Allied forces in the UK and found himself being taken to Ongen Camp in the Isle of Man for internment. For the first time in his life, the Norwegian detainee Reidar Drengsrud tells the story officially and exclusively to Manx Radio. When Norway was occupied during the Second World War, many Norwegian students practiced disobedience and were punished by the Nazis. Reidar Drengsrud was one of them.
My name is Reidar Drengsrud. I am a pensioner after retirement from the position of manager for Marine Electronics Division at a Norwegian company, which was a subsidiary of IT&T, the American IT&T. I'm born in Fredrikstad, a city 100 kilometers south of Oslo, and I now live in a community called Asker, west of Oslo. I was born June 1921, so I'm 85 years. When we were attacked and occupied in April 1940 by the Germans, I was still at school and passed immatriculation degree in 1941, courses and technical praxis to qualify for studies at the Technical University in Trondheim. However, that university was closed by the Nazis. I did not have a formal organized position in the resistance movement. However, as most of the students, we practiced disobedience and resistance as far as we could go. We were exposed to be enrolled by Nazis and Germans to road and railway construction work, more or less slavery working kind of punishment for being a student.
Reidar Drengsrud found it dangerous and impossible to stay in Nazi-occupied Norway. He decided to try to escape.
I ran away from the country with a strong intention to join Norwegian forces in UK. My mother and two younger sisters, they were alone home in Fredrikstad, so I had to be careful. Therefore, I posted some letters to my mother, which were smuggled up north and sent her as an alibi for my leaving with the enrollment. I left the country by German train from Oslo to Fredrikstad and then took a boat to Hvaler, an island off Fredrikstad near the Swedish border, and rowed across the Sound and was catched by a Swedish Coast Guard vessel and brought to camp, taking care of refugees from Norway.
Like many other young men from Norway, Reidar felt the need to fight for his country. Neutral Sweden was no place to stay. He decided to go to Britain and join the forces.
I expressed the wish to join the Norwegian armed forces abroad in UK. I was sent to a restricted camp outside Stockholm in Sweden for training and education in aircraft-related activities. There I came together with other students, more or less in the same position as myself. After the course, we were promised transportation to UK. We were transported out to Bromma Airfield in Stockholm. We were transported by American transport planes, which brought American aircrew back to UK, repatriated them. They had been shot down over Germany and the Baltics and was saved into Sweden. The Swedish allowed them to go back to England, and we were lucky to be put on three planes. That was a dramatic flight. There was much German activity in the North Sea. We used 4 days, 5 days to take off from Stockholm. The flights were cancelled due to German activity over Norway and the North Sea. So on the fifth night, we got clearance and took off. We then went to a very high altitude over Sweden and Norway and dived down almost to the ocean surface because of the German radar coverage over the North Sea. And this was quite dramatic.
After the dangerous flight, Ryder and his companions landed in the UK. They were looking forward to joining the armed forces, like they had been trained to do, but they were heavily disappointed.
We landed in Scotland without knowing where we had landed. We later experienced that was on an RAF airfield called Lucas, just north of St. Andrew in Scotland. After a short stay inshore, we experienced to our astonishment that we were prisoners. British soldiers took us and brought us to a plane going to an unknown destination. Later on, we were informed that it was Isle of Man. We landed at an airfield near Douglas. From there, we were marched into camp of Onkem, just north of Douglas.
This was far from what Ryder and his friends had expected. Rather than being able to fight for occupied Norway, they found themselves in prison in Onken camp. But at least they managed to convince some people in the Isle of Man that they were patriots, not Nazis.
We were treated as real prisoners. We had interrogations by British officers for about 1 week, but we experienced that we had some privileges as prisoners there. We were marched, but always under British guard, to the most famous places from the Norway Viking Age. We had another experience. We were marched down to the beach for bathing in the sea. On the return, marching to the camp, we passed a square in a small village, I think a village north of Ongken. We stopped, and that was a beautiful sandy afternoon, the only sandy we spent there. We asked the guards if we could sing. We were students, and we had much experience in singing together from our stay in Sweden. So we started to sing student songs, Norwegian songs, and a famous Norwegian song, Norge I rødt, hvitt og blått, which was about to be our new national hymn. Then the inhabitants around us came and asked the guards who we were, and when they learned that we were patriots from Norway to join the Allied forces in the UK, they almost lynched the guards, and we marched in triumph back to barbed wire. Accommodation behind the barbed wire in the camp was quite okay. It was small rooms. I think we were more than one per room. The food was okay, so we had nothing to complain about except our lack of freedom.
The Norwegians came to Ongken camp in late August 1944. They were held separated from the other people in Ongken camp, and they had very little idea about what was going on.
No contact with other peoples. I think it was hundreds or thousands of prisoners, or detainees in the camp. We never, I had no idea. So we were there for interrogation. We passed the interrogation and were sent for a new interrogation in London, and then we were free.
is hard to find information about the Norwegians that were detained here during the Second World War, Ryder has no knowledge about other groups of his countrymen who were interned in Onken camp.
How many were you in the group?
We were about 18 in the group. Yes, all students on various levels, basically technical students.
And how long were you in Onken camp?
About 1 week.
Did you meet any other Norwegians in the camp?
No, not to my knowledge.
Did you hear about any other Norwegians on the island in other camps?
No, I never saw a Norwegian there.
When you were in the Isle of Man, yes. Do you think they suspected that you were on the wrong side?
Yes, that was a strong feeling at the beginning. But during this week we were interned at the camp, we noticed that we had some kind of privilege. We were guided to the Norwegian memories from the Viking Age.
So it was almost like a holiday?
Yeah, except for the interrogation. We couldn't go free.
Did you ever return to the Isle of Man?
Yes, I did. On a short car trip around Scotland and England, 97, I think, together with my wife. 1 day trip out to the island. But I had so little time, so I couldn't make any further investigations until last summer when I joined trip searching for memories from the Viking Age. And that was a very, very interesting trip. I went to the Manx Museum to get further information about Norwegian detainees at the camp, but they had no. And Mr. Richardson, the leader, he asked me to give an account of what had happened to me and my young man.
After a time in Onken camp, Ryder was able to go to the UK and joined the armed forces there. Later, he served in the army in the now liberated Norway.
I had a hearing defect in my in one of my ears, and I didn't pass the final examination, medical examinations to make flying. So I was lucky to be sent to an RAF station at Yatesbury in Wiltshire, and later on to another training course in electronics at Cranwell. And these training courses didn't end, and I passed my examination in August, September 1945. I was ordered back to Norway to become a signal officer in the Norwegian Air Force at Bardufoss in northern Norway. In 1948, I quitted with the Air Force and continued my civilian career.
In spite of the fact that the Norwegian patriots were taken to the Isle of Man against their will, Ryder and his companions understood that the interrogation in Onken camp were necessary.
We all understood that the end of the war would come out to the advantage of the Allied forces, and I fully appreciated and accepted the treatment which I had gone through on the island, on the understanding that it was very important to prevent Nazi elements and espionage to mix with refugees coming from occupied Norway. And this is the reason why we were kept in the camp for examination, for interrogation. And I fully appreciated it, and I had no bad feelings, to say it that way. No bad feelings.
And you still like the Isle of Man because you have been
yes,
back.
Oh yes, very much.
Rider Drengsrud is now 85 years old and his story has been forgotten for over 60 years. He is now trying to find more information about the Norwegian detainees on the island. His account of what happened to him and other Norwegian soldiers who were detained in the Isle of Man will now be handed over to the Manx Museum. The next day, I escape by rowing together with the girl who would become my wife across a sound between the neutral Sweden and Norway. Undetected by the German watch station in the sound, we were picked up by a Swedish Coast Guard ship when we passed over the borderline between our two countries. We were transported by Swedish policemen to a Swedish reception camp for Norwegian refugees and were registered there. After a brief interrogation the next day by a Norwegian civil servant, I confirmed eventually we had reached our land of hope and expectation in a very good and friendly atmosphere. However, this atmosphere changed to the opposite as soon as our feet had touched British ground. Under guard, we were marched away for a breakfast meal, then to a small transport plane. Without any information, we took off for the Isle of Man. After a few hours' flight, we landed on an airfield near Douglas. From there, British guards carrying sticks marched us into a camp fenced by barbed wire. We learned that the name was Onken, a camp of POWs and detainees, and that our next future had to be spent on the island of barbed wire. That was a real blow. The intelligence had to take necessary precautions in order to prevent attempts at spying. I want to stress that due to this circumstance, we fully accept the precautions taken and have got no bad feelings afterwards. You have been listening to a documentary about the Norwegian detainee Rider Drengsrud, who was sent to Onken Camp in 1944. The programme was produced by a Norwegian student, Randy Lunde.
My name is Ian Cannell, and I live at a house called Rose Villa on Peveril Road, Peel, Isle of Man. Well, there was an internment camp in Peel, and this house was the last house outside the wire. Peveril Road was the boundary of the internment camp, and half of the road was behind the wire and half of the road was outside, and you could only travel along the remaining half of that road if you had the right permit. So all the houses immediately next to this house and quite a lot of the land, the headlands as we call it, were inside the camp, and that was given over to detainees of various nationalities throughout the war. There were Germans, there were Austrians, there were Irish, there were Polish. They were people who just happened to be in the United Kingdom when the war started. They were identified as a potential risk, a security risk. There were Norwegians, yes, and they were interned in one single house, which was separate from the main camp. And I think the intention was to establish whether or not they were what were then called Quislings, who were the collaborators with the Germans. But to us, they were all, perhaps sadly, categorized as Quislings. They were known as the Quislings, but they were held in one house, which was just across the road from this one. I remember that they were quite keen on gardening because they had a garden at the back of that house and they cultivated it and presumably grew vegetables and things for themselves. There couldn't have been that many because they were all in the one house. It's a fairly tall house. It's three stories high. I would have said probably 10 or 15, but I really have very little to base that on. The memories of a child of such things are not really very clear, I'm afraid. I'm not quite sure why the Norwegians were kept separate from all the others, because the others were equally a risk to the British authorities. But for some reason, the Norwegians were kept separate in this one house, and they came about halfway through the war, I should have thought.
And was it a well-known fact in Peel that there were Norwegians here?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think so. They were known as Quislings. They may or may not have been Quislings, but that was the term that was applied to the Norwegians who were in that house. They were the Quislings. They wore civilian clothes. They didn't have a prison uniform or anything like that, as far as I can remember. They simply wore their normal outdoor clothing when we saw them.
Do you know if they stayed here for weeks or for months?
Oh, they stayed here for several years. I would have thought that they stayed here from the time they arrived until the end of the war. What procedures there were for screening the Norwegians and releasing them if they were thought not to be a risk, I'm not quite sure. But my recollection is that having arrived sometime during the war, they stayed until the end of the war.